Please welcome back to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Isis Rain.
I wonder this time where she is gone.
A few years ago, I met the parents of a friend of mine while visiting Vancouver. Nadia's parents are two very memorable people. At the time, her father was busy with a documentary on Canada's energy industry, the well-received film Peace Out. As Charles Wilkinson puts it, he simply piled into a car with his son and followed the Peace River north, past hydroelectric dams, into natural gas fracking fields, past a future nuclear power plant. Eventually, the journey landed him in the heart of Canada's oil industry, Fort McMurray, Alberta. It's there that he found the setting for his latest documentary film, Oil Sands Karaoke.
Oil Sands Karaoke is a movie about a karaoke contest in the Alberta oil sands. That's what it is.
It's true. The film dives into the lives of a half a dozen characters brought together by a karaoke contest at Bailey's Pub in Fort McMurray. Through their stories, we come to see new perspectives on the oil industry. We start to understand what drives people to work there and how industrial energy exploitation is affecting them and affecting us.
Another way of describing it's a movie about denial. All of us know that we're in trouble with respect to the putting of carbon into the atmosphere. All of us deep down realize that our scientists are not kidding, that bad things are coming, really bad things. And yet we're all too busy to stop and address this most important thing we could possibly be addressing if we want grandkids. We're too busy. And what we're too busy doing is we're too busy competing in a karaoke contest or making a living or saving up for that new truck or, you know, wow, that's a cool looking guitar in the window there. So we're always busy. I need the money. We've always got a reason.
Of course, Charles Wilkinson isn't just talking about the people in the karaoke bar, the people of Fort McMurray. It's the rest of us who are in denial, too. And in fact, Charles met many people in Fort McMurray who were happy to share their disagreement with the oil business altogether.
Yes, of course, there's tons of people in Fort McMurray who are really adamantly opposed to everything the thing stands for. I'm talking about people who do the work, they do the job, but they hate it. They're just doing it because it's a means to an end. They're making money. I remember I asked a guy one of the first days I was there. I was cruising around up on the bluffs looking for a great place to get a good wide shot of Fort McMurray. And he and a friend were working on their vehicles in their garage, and I stopped and said, so can you tell me where it'd be a great place to get the best look at Fort McMurray? And him and his buddy thought for a moment, and he said, yeah, your rearview mirror. And also, I think much more importantly than the people who are secretly very much against the project but make their living from it, every single person I talked to in any depth at all acknowledged after a time that they had deep-seated misgivings about the thing. No one said to me, this is awesome. This is great, man. We need to do more of this. Everybody said, I'm really concerned about the reclamation of these lands that we're disturbing. I'm not really sure that we're actually going to leave this in any kind of a reasonably natural state. I'm worried about that. And I think that's a really reasonable worry because the oil companies are not keeping up to it. They're just not, right? So, I mean, it's possible, it's entirely possible that the oil companies working in Fort McMurray are going to do what they say they're going to do to reclaim the land perfectly. That's what the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers' point of view is, that they're going to reclaim the land and make it as good as it ever was. If they do, that will be the first time in the history of mining that that's happened. If you look at the mining industry's behavior in the past, their behavior is they mine something until it's almost exhausted, they sell it to someone else, they take off with no liabilities, the guys that they sell it to run it into the ground, declare bankruptcy, sell the equipment for 10 cents on the dollar, and leave us, the taxpayers, holding the bag. Pick a mine anywhere in Canada. I mean, there's thousands of these sites, we're paying for them. So I think it's pretty reasonable that people are suspicious, that they view these claims that the oil companies make with a little bit of suspicion, you know? It's their obligation to prove that they're going to be different than anyone else ever has.
The neat thing about this movie, Oil Sands Karaoke, is that Charles Wilkinson has found one of the few places in Fort Mac where all these secret misgivings could possibly be shared, could come out in the open. It's a lonely town where the shift work keeps people from forming strong friendships. But karaoke, that's a game changer.
I found that karaoke in Bailey's Pub in Fort McMurray gave people an opportunity to share a bond in an environment where you have very few opportunities to share any kinds of bonds. Karaoke, anybody can walk in the door and start singing and, you know, put your name on the list, put a song down. And if you're even remotely good, you suddenly got some people you have a lot in common with, and you sit down and have a beer with them, right? And that's what we saw. We saw that it crossed all socioeconomic demographic boundaries. Guys that looked like bikers with tattoos everywhere, and clearly, obviously, students and young kids and women, First Nations, just anybody that you can imagine getting up and singing. And rather than these obviously opposing groups, rather than them jeering or ignoring each other, they were high-fiving and cheering, and they were really having this wonderful musical moment together. And I thought, wow, there are very few places in our polarized society where people actually get along. This is one of them. And that was really inspiring.
So if you have people in this space, and it's like a space of shared community, and they come from all these different political or practical perspectives, I'm just wondering, like, where do we go next in terms of taking that shared space, shared humanity, and practically moving forward to address this issue of, you know, the rapidly closing timeline on addressing climate change?
Yeah. That really is the question. Like, okay, it's fine to say this is about, you know, everybody respecting each other's opinion, but where do we go from here? And for me, it's both clear and unclear. What's clear about it is that I think that every time you open your mouth to say that the guys who work for oil companies, the presidents and stuff, are evil, man, you should just reconsider and ask yourself if that is going to help or hurt this. Is this going to be a war that we can fight and win, or are we going to need to pull together? Because if this is a war, I guarantee you, us progressives are going to lose this war. The other guys are just way stronger than we are. And we can't do it without them. So I think that we have to stop with the hyperbole. That's the first thing, right? Those guys aren't monsters. That's number one, is to stop just mouthing off and saying really dumb stuff like that. The next thing is to start going to meetings. You know, we have to reclaim our democracy. And that sounds so noble and huge. But my parents used to, just that's how short a time ago, my parents' generation went to meetings. When something happened, they'd get up and they'd go to a meeting. Didn't have, you know, television. There were two channels, so that television was boring. So I guess they had a bit more time, but they went to meetings and they would object loudly when they thought that their civil liberties were being trampled upon, as they were, as ours are. But the difference between their generation and ours is that we've been coasting on what they did, and we're getting to the bottom of that hill, right? My parents' generation nationalized the power companies. The reason that we've got socialized power and socialized medicine in Canada is because our parents fought for it. Nobody just gave us that. Nobody just said to our parents, hey, or your grandparents, hey, you know, how would you guys like to have a fair medical system where you pay, you know, $1,000 a year for an entire family, you can go to the doctor whenever you're sick? Nobody just offered that. They fought for that. People literally died for that. And like, what do? We play with our smartphones. We need to start going to meetings again. You know, I've worked with industrialists, people who own energy companies, and they say to me, you know, you guys, they say, you guys are idiots. You know, you're so stupid. You think that we are going to save the planet out of the goodness of our hearts? We're not. But he said, what's going to happen is if you guys get smart and force your governments to regulate us, we'll follow those regulations. He said, I don't want to go to jail. If you make the right laws, I guarantee you I will follow them, because I don't want to go to jail. But he said, right now, the laws that you guys have for us are a joke. And he said, you're damn right that I'm going to contribute money to Stephen Harper's reelection campaign, because he's going to make it easy for me to do business. You have to know that. This is hardball. So play hardball. Put your mitt on, pick up a bat, and play some hardball. And we're not doing that. We're just so lazy. We think that going to one demonstration against the, you know, war in Iraq should have stopped the war. That's not how the Vietnam War got stopped. It was demonstration after demonstration. It was people boycotting, you know, Raytheon and all the military companies and suppliers, AT&T, IBM, and stuff like that. They put the heat on. Those guys had to get out of Vietnam. What are we doing? You know, we're social mediaing saying, I'm eating a sandwich, LOL. You know? Like, it's up to us. We could do a lot more. We could do a lot more. Nobody's going to do this for us. That's wishful thinking.